All right. So I was 13 years old at a rockathon, if you've never heard of that. That was where you rocked in rocking chairs. It was not a like rockathon. Like, no, it was a rocking chair-a-thon that we rocked for like 12 hours and raised money for something. I don't know if it was missions or what it was. But at 13, and we watched this movie, and at the end of this movie, a moment happened between me and God that I have gone back to for decades. I was at a youth conference in 2008, and I was sitting in the seat, and I said something to God in that service, and he spoke back to me, and I have never forgotten it. It changed my life and my future as to where I was headed and what God was going to do in the coming months. And so we have these moments with God, these amazing moments that God invites us into relationship with him. Now, the shepherds, we're going to be talking about the shepherds today, and there is no doubt that the moments that the shepherds experienced, they were never the same after that. So we have some modern day shepherds here that, yeah, because they're going to remind us, yes, let's give them a hand. Thank you. So I want to encourage you, don't miss the moment. So they're just going to stand here while we read these verses, and then we'll talk in just a second. So if you want to stand with them in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, it says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah of the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" Now, I asked them, they have papers that they're going to just flip around right now, because I want you to remember this picture, because, and you can be seated, because this whole concept of the sermon today is that we are modern day shepherds. So I told them they're not going to have to say anything, but I just want them to say their name. So just say your name for
yourself. My name is Kossi, Breton for the Christian.
Okay. All right.
And this is?
Pam.
Santiago.
Okay, and so we have Kasi is in the United States Navy as a submariner. Pam is a nuclear medicine technician at Baptist Hospital in Fernandina. And Santiago is a junior at Camden County High School. He also plays the drums. So I just want y'all to remember this picture, because we are modern day shepherds. So remember that. A picture is worth a thousand words. Thank you, guys. Okay, that's all. Appreciate it. Yay! All right. So the shepherds were in their place doing their job. If you put up the first slide, please, Joe. And they had a moment with God while they're doing their job. So they have this revelation from Almighty God while they're just in the field watching their sheep. It wasn't a special day that we know of. There was nothing going on. They're just in the fields watching their sheep. And all of a sudden, something supernatural and amazing happened. And this angel shows up and then gives them some instructions. And so this was a revelation moment for them. Now, a revelation is, according to Google, a surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made known in a dramatic way. So that definitely encompasses what happened to the shepherds that day. Now, moments with God can happen in our workplace, in our homes, at church, or multiple other places. We can have a revelation moment from God. And we need to be aware of those moments. Because the shepherds were just guarding their sheep, doing what they normally did, when suddenly everything changed. Now, God chooses moments to minister to us. And moments, oh, God, tickle my throat. Yeah. Okay. Y'all know how it is when you get this tickle in your throat. Yeah. Okay. God chooses moments to minister and to teach us. And moments are important because moments make up lifetimes. So don't miss the moments. The moments matter. And a lot of times we discount moments that God wants to use to do supernatural things in our lives. Because we don't realize. So we have to be careful. Ooh, goodness. I literally just breathed on. All right. Oh, goodness. Okay. So, revelation moments. Now, sometimes the revelation moments that God invites himself into our lives are not in the moments that we would choose. I want to show you. This is from our reading this past week. In Luke chapter 5, verse 3, we're going to go here for a minute, and then we're going to go back to the shepherd's story. But in Luke chapter 5, verse 3, and as Caleb mentioned, if you can start with us. You can start today, you know, in Luke chapter 10. But in Luke chapter 5, it says, stepping into one of the boats, this is in verse 3, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there because there was a whole bunch of people and he needed more space because it was hard to talk where he was. So he asked him, hey, push your boat out into the water so that he could sit in the boat and teach the people from the boat. Now, this is after Simon, Peter, James, and John had worked all night. And they were not like, they were working, like they were throwing out nets and bringing in nets and trying to catch fish all night. So now they're in the morning, they're already washing their nets, and that's important because Jesus is about to ask him to throw the nets that they have just washed, the net that he's just washed, back out into the water. And sometimes when God wants to give us a revelation moment, it's a moment when we're like, God, I am tired. I am frustrated and irritated because I have just spent all night working and accomplished nothing. So, you know, God is not afraid to step into those moments. So just be aware of that because we can be thinking that. But Simon's obedience brought breakthrough and change. And it became a moment where we look back on that. He looked back on, I'm sure, for the rest of his life and thought, that moment changed me. It changed my life. Change comes with obedience. I personally wonder what if Peter had the right attitude when he threw the net back out there, if he was like, oh my goodness, you know, because we've all done that. But God met him there because he is always with us. So look, I just want to show you verse 5. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish that they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. So fishermen were amazed. These guys, that's what they did. So this was a lot of fish for fishermen to be amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So this frustrated moment turned into a life-altering moment. So don't assume that God can't come in to the moments where you're frustrated, whether you're tired, if you're stressed out, if work is hard and life is hard. Listen, God comes in and often into the hard moments in our lives. Now, he doesn't always come in like we expect him to, and he's always there. He doesn't always come, I want to say, in a way that is tangible, that I can feel him. I know that he's there. And faith recognizes that God never leaves or forsakes us. So as I learn to recognize he's always with me, but there are moments, tangible moments, that God has spoken something to me or I have spoken something to him that I have gone back to for the rest of that and that I will for the rest of my life. So revelation moments. Then the shepherds had a go moment. If you put up the next slide, and we're going to look in verses 15. Oh, I said that already. don't miss the moments because moments make up lifetimes. Okay. Verses 15 and 16. When the angels have returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. So the revelation moment had included some instructions, and there was a go moment. So if you put it, yes, the shepherds had a go moment. And in the go moments, you will often get a new understanding. It might seem in the moment like something very small. I know we just went and finished this leadership course, and Sam Chan said that when he was given some advice, that he asked an older pastor for advice. And the man said, Sam, live long, live clean. And he said, at the moment, I was thinking, he was hoping for something a little bit more, helpful or profound than that. But he said, I have gone back to that statement for years. Because sometimes the moments that are going to be go moments are going to be revelation moments, we don't even recognize how big they are in the moment. We don't recognize this moment is going to change my life. But that's why we need to be aware. Like the song we sing, make us aware, God, of your presence. So the shepherds went. We have to go in order to find what God wants to show us. When God leads us to go to talk to somebody or to go to church or to go to a conference or to go, pray for someone, often we don't realize what the moment is going to be until later. But the angel said, you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And so he assumed that they would go. And of course, they were excited to go and see the one who would bring salvation. So they went to Bethlehem to find a baby. Obviously, Jesus was the only baby in Bethlehem that was lying in a manger. So, they just had to find the manger. There weren't other babies lying in mangers, only Jesus. So they found the baby that was in the manger. And God orchestrated that perfectly. I was thinking about this because, my youngest is only three. And I was thinking about how God orchestrated even the fact that when the shepherds got there, neither Mary or Joseph was holding Jesus. Because, with newborn babies, they are often held a lot. There's people coming in and you're just holding them because, that's new. No, God orchestrated it exactly so that when the shepherds got there, Jesus was laying in the manger. Maybe he was sleeping and God was like, nope, safe sleeping. A little bit longer. You're not getting out of that. You can't get out of the manger yet. Got to wait for the shepherds, to get there. I don't know if he was sleeping or awake, but we know he was in the manger. So, in their go moment, they found the salvation of the world. Listen, I was gonna say this later, but it goes here also. We've all missed go moments. Like I've had times where God told me to go say something to somebody or go, and I'm embarrassed or I don't want to say that or that that's probably not you speaking to me or whatever. And sometimes, unfortunately, you realize it was a go moment after the fact. You go, oh, yeah, God, that totally was you, and I just missed it. So what do you do in those moments? You ask God to forgive you, and you receive his forgiveness. All right. So continue. They had a tell moments. In verse 17 through 19, it says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. If you put up the next slide. So they were so excited because they had a story to tell, right? Our lives are full of these moments where we have exciting news that we want to tell, and rightfully so. And it saddens me, but I've realized this about myself. That unfortunately, sometimes it's a lot easier for us to have tell moments about things that matter a whole lot less. Like, if you get a new car, like, it's easy to tell people, oh, you got, yes, I got a new car. Like, but to tell people about Jesus, sometimes it's, there's an awkward transition. You're trying to figure out, like, how do I work this into a conversation? Yeah, it's still on. It's just. Okay, here we go. So these moments when we do go and tell will not only change our lives, but change the lives of other people. As believers, we need to have moments where we tell others what God has done in our lives. And listen, it might be awkward sometimes. You might have to make a transition. But if we recognize that we have the good news, and if we pray and say, God, will you show me how to have a moment with this person that I'm praying for? God, you know that they need you. Would you show me how to work this into the conversation so that I can talk to them about you? And God will lead you. I've had the Lord lead me to give people food, to take them a present, to give them a book. I've had all kinds of things. In fact, recently I had given a book to one of Lydia's friends when he came and stayed. That was when my mom, they stayed at my mom's house. He stayed at my mom's house. And I felt to give him this book. And this book is very precious to me, the Purpose Driven Life book, because my dad believed very strongly in started a church called the Purpose Driven Church. And anyway, I just felt to give him this book. And so he was leaving the next day. So I just put a note and said, hey, felt led to give you this book. You know, it's been encouraging to me. I hope it will be encouraging to you. And so anyway, him and Lydia kind of went separate ways. He's still at Kennesaw. You know, they were friends, but then she moved away. And so he was still in Kennesaw and she moved to Columbus. And so we don't see him very much. And so he's on Instagram. And I just recently messaged him because, you know, I said something about something on his Instagram post. And I asked him, hey, did you ever read the book? And he said, actually, I read it every 6 months. And I kept the note that you put me because it was so cool to me. And now my mom is reading the book. So thank you. You never know the moments that you can have. I was shocked. I thought, I hope that he didn't just, you know, throw it on a shelf. Like, I hope he read it. I had no idea. You never know the moments and how they impact people. So the shepherds just told people what had happened to them. I just want to say this because I feel like a lot of times people in church think that, well, I don't need to tell people. I need, and so maybe none of y'all feel this way, but some of you do. Like, I don't need to tell people. I need to get the pastor to tell people because they might ask me a question that I don't know the answer to, or, you know, I don't have it all together. Listen, none of us have it all together. And people still ask me questions that I don't know the answers to. So do not wait until you have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. The goal is just to tell them what God has done for you. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know everything there is to know. If they ask a question that you don't know, just be honest. Don't talk for 5 minutes pretending that you know the answer. Because we've all been there, you know. I mean, just say, I don't know, but I'll find out. You know, or don't be afraid. Let me look that up. Let's look it up together. You know, there's no shame in that. All of us get asked questions that we don't know the answers to. And some of the people that you will see, I might never see. And like I said, even if I did, they might not want to talk to me. They want to talk to you. So use the tell moments. And so I want to show you this and then, yeah, and then we have one more moment. But this is a verse that God showed me recently that is so cool to me. 2 Corinthians 2:14. It's so cool when you read the Bible and God shows you a verse and you're like, how have I never seen this verse? I've been reading the Bible for like 40 years. Like, how have I never seen it? But this is like one of those verses for me. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance, this is very metaphorical, y'all, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So imagine you go into your workplace or your home and you diffuse the knowledge of the fragrance of the knowledge of God in every place. Now, I'm stuck here with this. Okay, yeah, sorry. listen, this is a good thing. Lysol, this is all in one disinfectant spray. Kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Listen, sometimes our words need to kill some ugliness that's in the air. We need to spread some truth. If there's a moment and there's gossip or there's ugly things being said, sometimes we need to be the voice of truth that says something positive, that stops the conversation, that brings light into the conversation. This other spray that I have, which I'll spray this way so I don't, this is Febreze. Okay, this stuff is cool, right? I sprayed this on my couch because sometimes, things start getting smelling kind of funky. And, you can spray the fragrance with your words, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So as you go into Walmart, or as you go to the base, or as you go to the high school, or as you go to Baptist Medical, and you begin to speak as God leads you to speak, until you are diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That's what God has called us to do. Now, we want to invite people to church, and inviting people to church is good, and people coming to church and getting saved is awesome. But some people are maybe not going to come into church. We need to tell them where they are and encourage them where they are and allow them to come to know Jesus. So if you miss a moment, like I said, don't give up on yourself. We have all missed moments. And start from where you are. Let me just tell you something that is very profound and very important that you remember. You are not doing God any favors by quitting. That is a big fat lie. That the devil, it would be better off without it. Like, you are making a mess of things. God would be, the Christianity would be better off without you. That's so untrue. God wants us to make it. He wants us to walk with him. And Hebrews 10 says, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful one whose souls will be saved. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. So listen, God doesn't want you to quit. You're not doing him any favors by quitting. If you missed it, join the ranks of everyone who has ever been a Christian. Because we have all missed it. And that's when the devil, the enemy, will attack you and make you feel like quitting. And that's where 1 John 1:9, I've memorized that. You can memorize it too. It says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is hope for all of us. So I want to end with the go back. If you show the last slide, the go back moments. They had a go back. So after they have this massive revelation and the angel comes and then they go and see this baby in the manger and they talk to Mary and Joseph and then they go and tell people like what has just happened and all of these amazing things that have just happened. Then guess what happened? They went back to being shepherds. They went back to life. They went back to their job. They went back to the fields. They went back to taking care of the sheep. And so we have moments, but if we will go back remembering and glorifying God for what he has done and is doing. And this is why as Christians, we need to have an ongoing, growing relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because then I am sharing out of the things that God is doing in my life. And that doesn't mean that you're always going to get it right and maybe you're always going to get up early to spend time with the Lord. Especially when I was in high school, oh my goodness, I was determined. I tried multiple times to get up early and have devotions and I struggled. I like to sleep and I struggled. And so listen, sometimes it would be at night that I was reading my Bible. Sometimes I would forget and have to wake up and ask God to forgive me. But listen, if we will in those moments, okay, God, I am going to give you time in my day. And nowadays we have a phone with an app on it, which is fabulous. So you can read your Bible anywhere, Bring your Bible with you to work. I used to take my Bible with me to work, and on my break, I'd sit and read my Bible when I worked at Winn-Dixie. And actually got to talk to a girl that I used to talk to there. She was working at Cracker Barrel, and I had seen her a couple of times, and we used to work together at Winn-Dixie. And after that, seeing her, I was just trying to reach out to her. And one day, she came to me at the table where Rick and I were sitting, and she said, "Can we just get together? Because I just have some questions." And I'm like, "Yes." You know, and we sat and we talked about the Lord. So just use those opportunities that God gives you. We have a choice in how we view our moments. What we remember, what we focus on, it affects how we live. Our moments make up our lifetimes. So choose your moments wisely. Luke 9, this was in the reading from yesterday, Luke 9, 23 through 25, it says, "Then he," Jesus, "said to the crowd, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed?'" Jesus wasn't afraid to ask people to give up everything. He expected that we would be willing to lay down everything and follow him. That is what the Christian life is meant to be all encompassing. It's meant to change the way we think, the way we talk, the way we treat people, the way we spend our time and money. It's a process, thank the Lord. I mean, it would be awesome if it just all changed overnight, but it doesn't. We walk with the Lord and he changes us. He teaches us and he walks with us and he forgives us and he helps us and he reminds us and we grow and we change. And so I just want to encourage you. Joe's going to play a song as we close. And I just want to encourage you, if you need prayer, if you want to make a surrender of your life to the Lord Jesus, if you need prayer for wisdom or for healing, we want to pray with you.